Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio for those of you that are listening on the audio podcast. You're watching the Muscle Minds Bodybuilding Podcast with Dr. Scott Stevenson. I'm Scott McNally, and today we have with us a very special guest. This is genuinely, we can say, the number one bodybuilder in the world, Mr. Olympia, Brandon Curry. What's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Listen, still got to get used to that title, man.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here. I know that we had two topics that we wanted to talk about. Our second topic, we're going to talk a little bit about bodybuilding and lifting weights, because at the end of the day, I mean, that's what this is all about. And I feel like it's so easy to get wrapped up in, you know, the sport and the politics and the who's placing where and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, although, Brandon, you're like, you are the number one bodybuilder in the world, you do this because you freaking love lifting weights. And so that's our second topic we're going to go to. But the first topic, and I thought this was interesting, Scott, you were wondering about just how things work over at Oxygen Gym, because it's such a unique setup, the what they have over there. What was your question exactly, Scott?
There's a lot of it's an interesting thing. I think people, it's kind of calmed down now to some degree, but you know, like the talk about the anabolic chicken and, you know, the special things that are being, you know, done over there. Like, are they hooking you up to some hyperbaric chamber and expose you to gamma rays at night? Like, what's going on? What are they doing that's any different? Or is it simply that they're just taking all the pieces that if you sat and asked literally anyone who's been training for a while as a bodybuilder, what would I have to do to really optimize everything in terms of recovery, training, food, supplementation, et cetera? And so what degree are they really just taking the basic X's and O's and lining them up over there in a way that literally, I mean, most people can't because they have 9-to-5 jobs. They have stress that comes in, which is being eliminated there. And then to what extent, and you don't have to reveal any secrets, anabolic beef or the anabolic turkey or whatever it may be that they're using, like what sort of science is being brought in? And the thing that Scott that I was talking about before we got online here was, this almost reminds me like what they would do with Eastern Bloc countries and what is done in China, for instance, where they take athletes when they're very young and screen them for potential. And I think that's what Abdullah kind of did with you. He saw you. He's like, okay, this guy's got something special. I can bring it out of him. And then they've incorporated all of their cultural science into the program that they're done. So I'm wondering how much of what they're doing over there is sort of kind of X's and O's stuff that most people would know, and how much of it is like they've got some unique kind of approaches that they're doing that maybe no one else is doing in the way they do it.
Well, the main factor to start is passion. They have a real, real strong passion for the sport. And basically that kind of exudes from batter all the way down. So he creates the playground, so to speak, or the playgrounds, because he has more than multiple gyms. And he kind of lays out that solid foundation or structure where, you know, you still have that hardcore feel, but you have that, you know, that 5-star rating as well. So, you know, it's a gym that provides literally everything that you want, and it can still incorporate an atmosphere that you desire and you need. And it's well equipped, probably better than any of the other gyms in the world. So that's the startup. That's the foundation. And what he's been able to produce is kind of like-minded individuals in his coaches who all have different methods, I would say. And they, you know, they're not all alike, but they do actually, I guess, feed off of one another and ask each other questions and troubleshoot together if they need, you know, a second opinion or they want to observe an athlete and kind of get some feedback on, you know, where they can kind of do things differently or any kind of ideas that they may have to kind of troubleshoot some different areas. So they do have that team atmosphere as well. And it's like a kind of like a brotherhood as well. So my coach, he's very diverse. Very diverse in his approach, meaning that he doesn't have an approach that is, we're going to do it this way and we're only going to do it this way kind of guy. He looks at the athlete in particular, and he kind of feeds off of the different things that he's doing with an athlete and kind of makes his decisions ahead kind of based on what the feedback is. So I can't say that my preparations for any show were just alike because my body was different from prep to prep. And he's the main one that kind of caught that and was able to make those adjustments. The biggest factor is it's kind of like old school when it comes to looking at the bodybuilding approach where, you know, you have somebody there looking at you every day. Now, he takes his time out. He'll come and visit me and even do cardio when I'm doing cardio. So he'll see how I'm doing in the early morning. If he needs to take a look at me right after cardio, whatever, right if we do abs or something like that, he can take a look at me then. I'll go back. I'll eat my food. I'll take a nap generally after that. And I'll nap till probably it's time to eat again. And then I'll get up and eat right before I train, a little bit before I train. But he's already probably looked at me and kind of analyzed how I was feeling when I woke up that morning.
Right.
And that goes into the process of when we're about to train, preparation for training. So we'll go to the office, which you have office. We gather there. We'll sit and we'll kind of fill each other out, maybe have some conversations, maybe talk about what's going on in the bodybuilding world online, because they're always chatting about the bodybuilding world. It's always arguments about past bodybuilders comparing to, you know, who should have won this show, who should have won that show. You know, it's a lot of I didn't really believe it at first when I got there, how much they talked about bodybuilding. I just thought maybe just because I was around, they wanted to talk about bodybuilding. But then I would walk into the office at different times, and they're arguing about bodybuilding. I'm like, I haven't even been here, and they're still arguing and discussing bodybuilding. So these guys discuss bodybuilding all the time.
That's
like,
cool.
It's the number one subject, I think, over anything else. So basically, when we come in the gym and we're ready to train, you know, it's not just a dictatorship. It's more of a partnership with the athlete. Yeah. My coach, he always is asking me how I feel about something. And sometimes he comes in and says, look, I just don't got it today. My head's not into it. Well, you know, I need you to take over and do what you think is best. You know, and that goes along, you know, that goes a long way. So I can kind of get my own feel for the day. And I can kind of work through that session the way I feel necessary. And then when he sees something or, you know, he understands something that I don't, he can, you know, butt in and say, maybe we should do something like this, or maybe we should get this feel. Or if he's led the workout, he's like, how are you feeling? You know, where in your back area do you feel like we need to maybe, you know, add another exercise, or are you done? And I can just say, okay, maybe we need to do something like this. So it's really more of a team effort. He doesn't think he actually knows everything, but what he is doing is good at doing is asking the right questions. So he'll ask the right questions. He may even know the answer, but sometimes he's
teaching,
testing himself to make sure that he's got his right mind space, or he's analyzed it properly. You know, so he'll ask me a question. He may know the answer, but depending on my answer, he would kind of set up an argument to say, okay, let me reassure you that I understand what's going on, maybe even more than you understand what's going on. So he may ask me a trick question to see how I answer. And I may have a different concept, or I may say, oh, my calories are this way, or we did this the other day. And he's like, no. We did this the other day. And if we don't know, then he always can go back to his assistant and contact him and say, well, what went on in this day? And then we can get the clarity of it. But most of the time he knows. He has a very, very good memory, and he knows. And I think he has also a very, very good visual memory as well. So he's able to look at me and analyze my physique. And it may be photographic. And then he was able to see me again. And you can tell if he's bothered. You can tell if he's excited. You can instantly get a feedback by him looking at you, what's going on.
Right.
And it's interesting. He may say, I want you to try this. And I want you to try this. I know this is different. It may make no sense to you right now, but I just need you to try it. Just trust me for now. Just try this for 2 or 3 days. So I'll try it for 2 or 3 days. And 2 or 3 days later, he says, well, you know, he'll give me a feedback. Look, this is why I did this. I was trying to figure out this, you know, I wasn't seeing what I needed to see. I wanted to make adjustments to see what this if this would have an impact. And and he's trying to understand and learn something. So whenever he's asking me to do something in particular, I have to make sure I stay on task with those things to make sure he's getting the feedback that he needs.
Right.
Because so it's a partnership in that way. And it can be very intense because we may have two sessions a day and he may two weightlifting sessions a day.
Right.
And we may do two a days. And he's like, okay, we've been pushing two a days for 2 weeks. I think we're going to cut it out. And I look at him and say, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I can go another week. And he's like, are you sure you can go another week? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can go another week. And he's like, okay. He's like, cause I'm pretty beat up right now. Cause he trains with me.
Yeah.
So,
he's feeling it with you.
Right. Yes. Cause he wants to understand maybe how I'm feeling. Hmm. He wants to relate to me as an athlete. So he'll put himself through some of the strenuous things that we're doing so he can relate to how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Cause
if he comes in the gym, he looks at me and says, man, you look like you haven't been resting, you're out of it. And he'll know, okay, we'll back it off a little bit. We won't push as much.
Right.
And you need to recover, or we'll go out and get a certain meal. You maybe refeed with some nice food, you know, that I haven't had in a while. And he's really able to feed feedback from that. He likes to keep me in a certain state of a certain look. And when I get outside of that state too far, he doesn't really understand, how I'm looking or what's causing me to look that way.
Hmm.
So he likes to keep me in a certain window, a certain look of fullness, a certain look, a certain, so he can understand the variables that are changing.
Yeah.
And it's not changing because I'm flat or maybe I'm too overworked. He's trying to keep me in a certain range of look while the adjustments are being made. And if I drop too far on either side of the spectrum, or I'm too watery, whether I get too, then he's like, okay, we got to figure out something to get you back in this area. I can read you better. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's all about reading. And if he has too many variables that are different, he has trouble. I don't know what's going on right now. I mean, maybe we did something with this compound. Maybe it's causing this issue. You know, maybe we did something, maybe you're doing too much cardio and you're just not recovered. You know, he's trying to troubleshoot these things. And so we'll maybe adjust some variables because he's not in that sweet spot to where he's like comfortable with the changes that are happening.
Hmm.
So those things would be like a compound or a supplement or a dietary change or cardio. And he may not even know which one it is.
Right.
So he has to kind of guess to some degree.
Right.
But over time, I presume he's probably become a much better guesser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He told me he basically came to me one day and said, if I die, you need to know this about your body.
Right. Right. Yeah. Phenomenal.
So I laughed and I was like, but he was straight on. He's like, you know, you don't respond too well to too much cardio, you know, too many compounds. It just makes everything more complicated and your body just gets too watery. And, you know, I don't like you looking in that state. He's like, you can train, you know, very, very intensely for, and handle a lot of volume for a long period of time before we actually have to, you know, pull back on that. But, just let me know when your joints and, you're experiencing inflammation and whatnot. And that's how I kind of know, like, you know, if I'm doing overkill. So he's like looking at certain things and getting my feedback. And like I said, he's learned my body so quickly over the years. Mm-hmm. And it's not like my body is always the same. The Arnold prep was so easy. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. It was so easy. My body responded to everything that we did to it.
Yeah.
But being that we come from the Arnold, had a brief little break and going back into the Olympia.
So common.
My calories weren't as quite as high as my Arnold started the prep. Mm. So we're having to basically fight to get my body down. I also think at that point, my body was trying to actually grow. Instead of, it didn't want to come down. It wanted to just, it was just, less food, everything was, it was trying to get bigger. And I'm thinking, he's like, man, your body just wants to get bigger. It's like, this is great, but that's not what we want to do right now.
Right, right.
So I had to do like more cardio and have my calories lower than I normally would like them to be.
Uh-huh.
And in order to try to get in the condition that, that we would like to be. And what we're thinking is maybe we trying to, being having to push so hard against the body, wanting to do something else. It kind of caused me to the body to be stressed a little bit more towards the end than we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But you know, in a sense, it's the only way we could really get to the destination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a choice. There was you were under time constraints. Yeah.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm saying is with my coach, we have a relationship that is really like he believes in me 100%. Like when I met him, he had studied my career. You know, he said he appeared at my first Olympia. He was there. He had seen me all aspects of my career. And no one really believed or saw what he saw at Oxygen at that time. He had to convince them of what he saw. And so he knew he was right. He's like, I'm right. I know I'm right. And he proved it to me. He said, you can be Mr. Olympia. He says, I know you can do it. And, you know, I believe the same. So we're like these underdogs, you know, trying to convince everybody else that we have this formula right now. We're going to take this all the way and we're going to be successful. And, you know, we had a bunch of, you know, big names there. It's a competitive atmosphere. And you know, even though it's competitive, we're all friends, but that competitive atmosphere
is
a great atmosphere to be in as well.
Hell yeah.
I think that's what makes the gym also a very, 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 very great place to be because, you know, you have Nathan, you have Rolly, you have Big Ramey in there, you know, and then you have all these other guys that are in the region
making hungry
amateurs or even visiting that come in and, you know, they're impressive. And, you know, when that moment when you're like in between a set and you're like, oh, man. And you look over and, you know, you see Rolly over there just acting like a machine. Right. Like you wake up, you know.
Yeah.
And then whenever we get to train together, you know, it's always a push, you know. It's that camaraderie and that push, you know.
I mean to interrupt, but I mean, there's so many things. You've got like the perfect kind of yin and yang where like they've got that yang in the gym where it's just absolutely time to go for it. And then where you're supposed to relax and recover, you've got everything you could possibly want. You've got a brain trust of all these trainers who talk to one another, which doesn't happen in the States very often. People like to keep secrets and that kind of thing, and they don't communicate stuff. And then you've got literally like a Zen master who's asking you trick questions to try to see what you ask, who totally believes in you, and you're surrounded by like-minded guys. And I was thinking, like, even you as Mr. Olympia, look over and there's Rami and Ruli. You're like, those guys, they're pretty big. They've got you on size. There's going to be some guys in there who can get more conditioned than you are at that time or will be. There's there's still a dangling carrot even for the best competitor in the world in a place like that. And that is just a tremendous just driving force. That, you know, and
another thing I'm able to, that's motivating as well. You know, we have, the Batter has a couple shows out there that if I'm out there, I'm able to attend and seeing some of this, this young talent, no matter what category is also a motivating factor because my coach is able to bring some of these guys in he works with, you know, I'm able to look at them, analyze, he may ask me some questions about what I think about their physiques and stuff. And just seeing a lot of this raw talent and a lot of these guys working hard, to get in this top shape. That's also another factor.
That,
you know, you may not see every day unless you're training clients yourself. But I don't have to worry about the stress of training clients, but I'm able to see these other clients come in and be pushed and be analyzed and see their process and, you know, and able to kind of give my feedback and encourage them as well, which whenever you're in an environment where you can give and take and give and take, you know, it's always a great environment. So, you know, it's just I just feel like I'm really, really a part of that team, and I like to be an asset. You know, I know a lot of guys look up to me, whether it's posing critiques, whether it's anything I can help my coach with, or any young guy with. If they have any questions, I'm always there to kind of give them reassurance that what they're doing is good.
Yeah,
stay to it, or just saying, okay, you need to maybe turn this up a notch, or maybe we can help them troubleshoot a little bit to kind of figure out, you know, maybe where they need to go next or what direction they need to kind of lean to in order to figure out what they're trying to figure out. But it's got that environment as well. And then, you know, I'm able to train with, you know, different guys and just be pushed as well. My coach is tenacious. he's not a very big guy at all.
He's an animal,
though, huh? Whatsoever.
Yeah.
When it comes to training, he absolutely loves training.
Yeah.
And he moves 100 miles an hour. That means like I have to slow him down and he speeds me up. Because he's like I look up, I finish my set, I'm like, where'd he go?
I got another exercise to do
he's
now.
He's like on to the next exercise. Like, you know, I'm like, where did he go? He's like, he's on the move, and you know, he loves volume as well, so he. he pushes the volume sometimes. It's like he's ready to go. But I mean, I'm able to adapt to these things over time. We don't start out that way. Because as I'm conditioning, he's conditioning. That's I think that's a part of the training together that happens as well. And as I'm getting better and improving, you know, he wants to be improving as well. You know, his cardiovascular shape is way better than mine. I mean, this guy will do 2 hours of cardio just for no reason. You know, like he's getting ready for a contest just for fun in the morning. So he's got a very, very tenacious fighter attitude in him.
Yeah.
Don't give him a reason to be competitive. Don't give him a reason. He looks for reasons to get competitive. I mean, he messages coaches and says he will challenge them. And they block him, like, he's just trying to...
Really? So, like, in the gym, like, come train with me, I want to bury you type of thing?
Well, no, like my athlete versus your athlete.
Right.
Let's see, it's a challenge for me. Let's see who can do this, you know? And, you know, athletes, I mean, some coaches, they don't understand that personality he has. They may get offended by it, and block him or something. But he's just really he's just a competitive person, man.
Yeah.
It
sounds like there's like, I mean, the one thing that, you know, that probably people thought was like, so have you like defected now? Like, have you gone to the Middle East and like, is there some sort of a country type of animosity? It sounds like there's none of that. It's like literally, this is just like bodybuilder's haven.
Yeah.
We don't care what color you are, what language you speak, you know, what you look like, as long as you're big and you're a monster as a bodybuilder. We just love bodybuilding. So everyone come to the Mecca. Come one, come all, and we're going to kick ass and do as best we possibly can. And that's a perfect atmosphere there, because literally if it's a time to like go in the gym, like, all right, we're going to do 5-step drop sets on the squat. That's what we're going to start off with. You're like, okay, let's go for it. And like everyone turns it on. And then if you come in on a day and you're like, you know what? I think I need to take a day off. They'll be like, that's smart bodybuilding too.
Hmm.
And no one's going to be – they know you're not wussing out. You're not being a puss about it. And they accept that because there's also an intellectual characteristic to the atmosphere there too. And that's a nice combination because, I mean, I have the tendency to do kind of what your coach does. If I could just train all day long, I would. If that would make me better, I would do it. But that doesn't help. That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So having a good balance like that is perfect. So that helps a lot. It tells me what I wanted to know about why things work so well over there, because it's opening, you know, it's everyone, they want you there.
I'll talk about the facility in general. You know, we have like a spa area, pools, sub-zero tubs, saunas, steam rooms, jacuzzis. And, of course you get massage therapy at least once a week, in the facility there. So as far as recovery, we have all that together. There's a nice cafe in the gym as well, where they recently changed the menu when the last time I was there. And, you know, you can get anything, steak, chicken, shrimp, you know, you can get all kind of meats, potatoes, you know,
sushi?
All bodybuilding foods, pastas.
Sushi?
I mean, sushi, no sushi there. There's a sushi restaurant in walking distance.
Okay, all right.
There's a sushi restaurant right in walking distance. And Batter has a restaurant in walking distance as well, where I normally get my steaks. I normally get my steaks at,
because
they do real nice steaks. And everything is measured by the gram.
That's right. Cool.
A lot of these restaurants around the gym, you can get things measured by the gram, because they have a lot of health food restaurants in the community as well that compete with one another. So, I mean, it's nothing like going to a restaurant. You think, oh, this is a nice restaurant. They say, how much do you want? You're like, and you tell them the amounts that you want.
It's like
perfect. So it's that's offered there as well. And let's see. Yeah, the staff. I will say this. The staff is an incredible staff. They have like maintenance staff or cleanup staff.
Uh-huh.
And these guys will take weights for you. They'll help you with a drop set and take them off.
No kidding.
They have trainers on the floor that do the same.
Mm-hmm.
They'll spot you. They'll load weights on them. If I'm tired one day and I don't feel like moving anything, I can sit on the bench in the freeway room and ask a guy to grab me some like 150 dumbbells, pound dumbbells, and they'll roll them over and bring them to me. And I can leave them there and they'll put them up. So I break the rules in that gym because I never have no rack weights. I never rack weights
mm-hmm.
there.
Wow.
You know, sometimes I rarely even load them depending on, you know, who's around, you know, calling shots. So it makes it very, very easy just to focus on training and training only, you know. And you can focus all of your energy into a set if you choose to, not to do anything extra. So
So it sounds like it's kind of an invite only thing to a certain degree. Abdullah saw your potential. Like, what if someone, let's say some billionaire from name the country decides he wants to go and do like his own personal 3-month camp. Could he go and hire one of the trainers there and basically live what you've been living for that period of time?
Exactly. I mean, if you look at how Nathan came to the gym, Nathan just came from the UK to Kuwait. He found him a place to stay and he started coming to the gym, you know, and he just came to the gym and he was trying to work with Oscar at the time. And he finally got able to work with him. And then he was finally welcomed onto the team. He actually, I guess, made an impression enough to where they invited him.
Right. He worked his way in. Yeah, it's smart.
Right. So a lot of guys come just with that goal in mind to just come and stay and work with some of the coaches or some of the other coaches that may not be as popular. They may start with those guys first, just trying to get in the door and get an idea of, how basically the gym culture and the scene. They're trying to get in there and be seen. And, eventually some of those guys do work their way into working with some of the coaches. I mean, I had a training partner named Andy. He's an IFBB pro. Crawford. He came from Australia.
All right.
He just came from Australia. He'd been there for a long time, just in the gym every day, chilling, just trying to work his way into the system, getting to know people and training. And he's still there. And, he's been able to train with me and work with my coach a little bit and getting help. So he's just a really nice guy, just loved bodybuilding and was getting away from, his other surroundings. And he's been there. He's still there. He stays there longer than me. He's got a job in Kuwait now.
Wow.
He's a teacher. So, he's really taken on to that, to the culture and the atmosphere. So, I mean, it's plenty of guys that come out, whether they come out for short terms, whether they come out to work with a coach, whether they just come out just to visit, like a tourism thing. People come in the gym all the time, as well as military guys as well.
Yeah.
Do much of the same. So it's one of those things, you can maybe get a break if you're an IFBB pro and they won't charge you to come in or nothing like that.
Right.
If they know you're coming and some guys, they just come and they just actually pay a membership and join the gym.
This is like Gold's Venice, like 30 years ago when you had these guys who they moved from Connecticut and they live in their van in the Gold's parking lot because they had a dream of being a professional bodybuilder. And this is, people are coming worldwide for this atmosphere.
That's exactly. Sweet. Yeah. Exactly. It's a sweet thing, man. It's a sweet thing. And, Randy, he started as an employee.
That's right.
You have a lot of employees, a lot of the guys that are on the training floor that are actually bodybuilders. And they actually train and compete in shows. Uh-huh. A lot of them are from the Philippines. You've got a lot of guys from Egypt, that come. And they work on the gym floors. And some of them even own gyms back in their the countries. They're there, training and trying to get better and making money.
Wow.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So when you go back and forth, obviously you're in Nashville with your family. I think that's where you are now, it looks like. Guessing, yeah. And yes, then,
I live outside of Nashville.
What city are you in?
Murfreesboro.
Okay, I know where that is. I think I told you I dated a woman from Murfreesboro back in college. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But so do you sort of periodize your time there as far as training? Because you're buckling down when you're there and it's 100%. And then when you come back, just like you sort of plan almost like a deload family time, maintain. That's okay. I figured you put sort of.
Yeah. Basically, I'm going through the process. I've been like I was out of the gym for a month total. And then I came back and I was like maybe hit it once or twice a week. And then I for like 2 or 3 weeks. Then I slowly built up from there. And now I've been in the gym maybe consistently for 2 weeks, okay, about four or five times a week. And I'm just kind of preparing myself to head to Kuwait in March after the Arnold. Okay. Yeah. So I'll be building up, you know, trying to get the intensity in. The volume's not really high, so I'm pushing it that way. And then I know I'm working a lot more volume in Kuwait. So I'm just kind of get them, you know, the intensity up and just trying to say, kind of calibrate my body for what's about to come. Mm. I don't want to go all there first because I know I'm going to have to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of prepare myself strength wise, you know, making sure my I'm healthy, making sure, you know, I'm getting the best contractions. Everything's feeling good. You know, I'm really, really focused on the training. And then I'm also making sure I'm already working on some of my weaknesses and some of those things I want to bring up. So, you know, I just train legs probably anytime they feel fresh, no matter what the split is, it's catering to. And I just throw those in on any day that I feel that they recovered. And then, you know, I train chest and biceps, back and triceps, and then shoulders in that rotation. And then legs will be thrown in any day.
Interesting.
They feel fresh. And that's how I've basically been doing it. I was able to train with Charles Glass this past weekend.
Oh, cool.
We train hamstrings with Dexter Jackson and and shoulders with I brought a buddy up there. Me and Charles trained shoulders the last day I was there. And I got to tell you, man, Charles is a
wizard.
He's a special guy in the gym. He it's so simple, the things that he does, but when he's able to map out your training and sequence the exercises and then kind of read your body and kind of feeling for activation or misactivation and adjustments.
All right.
He's really, really good on that. He knows I'm coming in there to learn, and I can just see him getting a kick out of that. You know, I'm just trying to take it all in. I'm trying to, you know, figure out what the master's trying to show me. So I had that experience in Venice as well this past weekend. So that's kind of helped me get back into it, getting really motivated for the season. And after seeing these guys on stage at the Arnold, it's going to be game time. I'll be in Kuwait for about 6 weeks after that. And it'll be a full off season before I come back and prepare for the baby to come.
Right on.
Do they sort of basically, it sounds like volume is kind of like the main mindset there, like old school, quote unquote, bro split, the way most pro bodybuilders train with a high volume approach. Is there anyone there who does a lower volume approach or a higher frequency approach? Or is anyone like among the sort of the cluster trainers there? Or does everyone sort of train as hard as you can? And we'll get his way with as much volume as we possibly can.
I think most guys more, they'll lean more towards the volume because the athletes that are coming in there, for the most part, are guys that can handle it. You know,
workhorses. Yeah,
can handle the abuse and still recover. But no one there, especially in particular, is sold on anything. There's some coaches there that I know do things a lot differently. And they experiment based on the things that they educate themselves on with different athletes. So a lot of times it's a place where guys or coaches are kind of really experimenting with some of the younger guys. So people are kind of trying to figure out, okay, where do these guys develop their system from, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, these guys have been training people in the region for years. A lot of young athletes, they've turned a lot of guys pro, professional, all classes. Some of these guys you have never heard of before.
Right. But
they have a long list of clients that they're working with, and they're getting their feedback, and they're working out their systems with. And, you know, some of these guys are, you know, they're very different from one another. So they've been getting a lot of feedback through the experience that they've had with these different clients and different people coming up in the region that come there just for specifically for training. So I don't think they treat everybody the same, of course.
Right.
But the guys that come in there with, you know, high profile, they pretty much know, you know, that we can take, you know, where we are, what we can take. And they'll push us to the extent of what we can take. And then if we need to, you know, back off, or, you know, we need that to be refreshed and need treat, whatever it may be, then that's incorporated. But they're there to push us beyond what we'll push ourselves. My first experience was I go there and I'm getting on the machine. I'm doing my exercise. He's like 12 reps. I'm like, cool. 12 reps is good. And then after 12 reps, come on, three more. Come on, four more. I'm like, what?
Yep.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, everything is like 20 rep sets.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, wow. I mean, and every time he says number, then I just ignore it. Because I know he's working off me. He's not working off that.
You're not tricking with that one. I learned that one day one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's not working off the number. He's working off me. So
yeah.
I had to get used to just making sure that I'm giving him everything he wanted me to give him. And yeah. then, you know, and then challenging him and saying, no, you know, I'm not mentally, you know, I'm not going to submit to this. I got more. Mm. You know, if you can give it to me, I'll take more. You can tell me when to stop, you know. And that's how the mindset that I had to have going into the gym there, because I knew that his goal was to get the most out of me. And yeah. then sometimes he's like, no, Brandon, no, that's enough. That's enough. That's good.
Yeah.
And that's why I know that, okay, he's reading something that he wants to see from me. Maybe he doesn't like how I'm performing after that point.
Yeah.
As far as the reps that I'm doing, maybe he thinks the quality is going down, but he's trying to protect me and he sees something I don't. So I listen to him, you know.
What was your most brutal workout there? Is there one that like stands out, or a couple like what, like the, like that was just epic? Like
brutal? Man.
Yeah. like so there are too many, but, or give us like create a generic example if you can, of the kind of stuff that they would have you do. We talked about on Monday, Scott and I recorded and the whole theme of the talk was about the mind really being the thing that limits what we can get out of the gym. It's like you're basically your brain. And like what we just talked about, how Tom Platz would do that with people. And
five more, five more.
And he was that's why we were both smiling when you started saying that. But was there a workout where you just were like, you know, I can't even believe I survived that.
Well, the worst workouts are the ones that, turning to be different than anything you've been doing at that point. Hmm. And sometimes like my coach will throw in something like, okay, we're going to do some giant sets today. And traditionally we don't do giant sets traditionally. And he throws those suckers in there and it's like, you just get smashed. and it's like, he doesn't, I don't think he really just, he gets so excited about doing it, he's not really calibrated for the volume. So next thing you know, with these giant sets, your volume has gotten ridiculous.
I bet.
You need to unsubscribe him from the Milo Sarcev videos on YouTube.
I don't think he doesn't really follow Milo's. Like,
oh, okay, okay.
I already know, but I just think, at that time, he's like, at that time I'm thinking, he's like, I like this piece and I like this piece. They're close together. And that piece.
Right.
And we're going to do a little bit of both of them today. And the next day he's going to tell you, he's like, you feel that? I'm toasted. I don't want to, you know, he's complaining just as much as you are.
Right.
But it's
right.
like that. And it's, I think sometimes when we have like one of those, like, let's say we have a workout where we squat and front squat. We, of course, you know, we leg press, the hack squat, and then maybe we'll do, after you think you're smashed, we do like walking lunges down this horrible long hallway.
The hallway of hell.
And then he wants to add weight. And I'm thinking, and you know, he's got this cardiovascular endurance that he's been working on that is amazing. And he's lighter than me.
Yeah.
So he's going and going like the Energizer Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's trash, he's just loving it. And he keeps going and going like, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm just going to collapse, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know if I'm going to collapse. And then next thing you know, your legs are giving way and you know, you're barely even making it. And you have to dump the extra weight that's on you and you're just trying to finish. And then you just, and then, you know, we basically sit there after it's over for at least he sits there maybe 5 minutes and I'm there for like 10, maybe 15 minutes because he'll pop up and say, hey, all right, I got to go. And I'm like,
I'm not going anywhere.
No, I can't go anywhere right now. I'll just relax.
Yeah.
And then I'll make it down to the office eventually and I'll go to the couch in the office and I'll just be chilling. And sometimes I'll sit in the office and people come in and out. And I'm still sitting there and I'm just like, you still in here? I'm like, yeah, I'm just zombied out right now. You know, I don't want to go anywhere.
So yeah, I know that one.
Those occasions where I'm just in the office and everybody's coming in and out, you know, checking on coaches are there, saying what's up. And they're like, man, you're still here? I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. Maybe sipping on my post workout or whatever it may be, trying to make sure let my stomach calm down enough where I can go eat.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of those things are brutal. I mean, I think the most brutal time was also when we were doing the tour days. We probably had the Ronnie Coleman style split.
Yeah,
that's a brutal split.
Uh huh.
For three, I think we ended up doing it. I pushed it another week. So I think 4 weeks we did that split, and by the end of that, I went on a trip after that. So I know I wasn't going to be at the gym. So I was like, I'm going to get a break.
Uh huh.
Pushing it to that fourth week, it was really, really rough. It was really, really rough. When my coach questions whether we should still do it, I know it's getting rough.
Well,
so, that's some things come to mind.
Those are those things too. Like, there's a methodical approach, and you can plan things out and have some X's and O's that you're planning on, working through in the workout. But then there's just some days, if you're trying to achieve extraordinary results, you've got to do extraordinary shit. And some days you're like, okay, we're just going to those three machines. Hell, we're doing all six. We're doing the whole row. We're going to do a giant set 10, and you just do it. And that kind of it creates a mentality that then carries over, and literally almost nothing seems impossible.
Right.
And, if you can see it in your mind's eye, then you can manifest it in your body, I think.
Right.
And they realize that there. And obviously you realize that, and your trainer does. So
yeah, sometimes I like that. I'm like, oh no, let's not do that again. I'm down for anything,
right.
At the end of the day, I'm a sucker for the punishment.
right.
And some of the guys that come there, I won't say any names, though, but some of the guys that come there, I think have been kind of shocked about, the training. And my coach is not very, very nice. If you can't keep up, he'll call you a baby, he'll make fun of you a little bit if you can't keep up. If you need too much rest between sets or you laying on the floor, he'll take pictures of you, he'll mess with you, so he'll shoot you in the ego if you come in there not prepared and not ready to work.
But he also will look at that person and say they're just sandbagging a little bit. If someone is literally, their constitution isn't set up to handle that kind of volume. And it seems like this is a thought that I had. It seems like you've seen and they've seen there that literally there's kind of a spectrum where the bigger guys, the more impressive guys, the guys with the best genetics, the best bodybuilders can handle more volume. And the less genetically gifted, smaller guys cannot. That's sort of like the way that they've seen it. So they know, you see a top-notch, like Nathan comes in, Nathan's going to be able to handle a massive workload. But it sounds like with a guy like who's not, hanging very well, your coach still is paying attention. It's like, okay, I know eventually this guy, maybe he just can't handle this, and it would be silly to push. That wouldn't behoove the guy. He's not going to make any progress. He'll just backslide. So he's cool about it, too.
But he'll mess with him. I think he knows when guys are not giving it.
Yeah,
he senses when they're not giving it up, and they're proceeding with caution. And he's like, trust me, I'm not gonna push you beyond where I don't think you can go.
Right.
So just go with me here, and
trust me,
and you'll be okay. But some of the guys, it's that mentality that they're trying to preserve themselves in fear of reaching some place that they don't think they can go. That I think he senses, and I can see it. I know what he's doing, I know how hard it is. I'm thinking, okay, I've been there. I've had to climb this ladder to where I am right now. So I've been at the state that you're in. I know what it feels like, but you'll never get to this place if you don't continue just to put your head down and kind of grind it out. You'll never know what that's going to feel like. Because I said, he's not pushing you at the level that we are. He's pushing you at the level that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to push you no matter what. So just get used to it.
Right. Yeah.
Just get used to it. I mean, we got some guys that are fairly known, that guys know they won't train with my coach. They think he's crazy. They think he's crazy. They do.
Yeah.
And I say, I've trained with Oscar several times, and training with Oscar is rough if you're not used to training like he trains. He trains at a very, very fast pace.
Yeah.
You go from one exercise to the next like you're doing supersets or giant sets. Like it's not anything. His pace is very, very quickly.
Oscar Arden.
If you're not used to that,
Oscar Arden you're talking about?
Yeah, Oscar Arden.
Where did you train with him?
No, not Oscar Arden. Oscar at Oxygen.
At Oxygen. Okay, I didn't know who that was.
I'm an Oscar. Okay. Yeah, that's Rolly's coach.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But if you're not used to the pace that he sets for you, then you're going to be dead. You're going to be dead and act like you can't continue. He's not one of those guys that really pushes the intensity is really high. Of course, you wouldn't know that by the way Rolly trains, but his pace is really, 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 you know, he's just back to back to back to back. And it's like, wow. So if you're not used to that approach, it's always a shock when you get that. So sometimes my coach is like, oh, I'm not going to make it to train with Oscar today. So I'll go train with Oscar. And I know what I'm going to get. It's going to be different. It's going to be a different shock to me. But Oscar knows I'm going to push just as hard as anything. I'm going to try to you know, conquer this workout no matter what he throws at me. So it's a good change up to have the diversity there too.
Those guys who come in, the new guys who come in, who maybe, you know, they're not used to the pace or the volume, and maybe they kind of sandbag, I bet they learn pretty quickly that they've got an hour and a half, 2 hour workout, and they've got 22 hours to recover, and they better make damn sure they recover, because it's not going to get easier the next day. So that's the thing, I think, that people don't necessarily realize is that, you know, especially if you've got a regular job and you're, you know, you got like if you work a manual labor type job, you've got those other hours where you're not recovering, but in a place like Oxygen, you've got nothing to do but get ready for the next battle the following day or later that day. And you can recover if you put everything into it like that, I think.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I have a scheduled nap, of course, after cardio.
Normally, right.
But the next nap is never scheduled. Sometimes, you know, I just need it after the workout. Maybe a couple hours I'll eat and I'll just crash. And, you know, I wake up and finish my meals. So my daily schedule a lot of times is, you know, I don't go to bed till like 3 a.m. Or maybe even after a lot of times, you know, just getting all my meals in. But that's only because I break my rest out up into segments. So I'll sleep maybe 4 hours, get up, do my cardio, sleep another couple hours, you know, or 3 hours, you know what I'm saying? So it's like in the culture there, they stay up like a lot later.
Really?
So I may be out with the guys. I may go be hanging out with Batter and some of the guys at the restaurant. We'll be talking, eating some food or whatever it may be. It's like 3 o'clock and then we all scatter and go back to whatever we're doing. So it's like that during Ramadan, especially when you're out there, because they can eat up until a certain point. And then after that, they go to bed at night. So
At
3 a.m. mark is still, even though the Ramadan is not happening, at 3 a.m. mark seems to be that sweet spot to where the guys will hang out till depart and go their ways and rest. So, you know, it's interesting, but it's like a routine that's so different than what I would normally do. But I have so much other freedom to do what I need to do that it kind of works out. It works out perfectly. And I'm like, it works out with my family as well, because in those wee hours of the morning, you know, I can talk with them as they're
preparing. Oh, that's right. That works really well. Yeah.
So the kids, I can actually send the kids off to bed, you know, when they I'm up that early in the morning. So
right.
It works out pretty cool.
Guys, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're coming close to the end of the hour here, but I wanted to ask one thing though, was, you know, everything we've talked about here today, how does your training now compare to, say, you know, 10, 11 years ago, like 2009, 2010? What have you learned, you know, in these last couple of years that, you know, because you were arguably a great bodybuilder, you know, you managed to turn pro, right? And you were fantastic, you know, at that level. But, you know, I feel like the way I look at it is that we're always learning, you know, that what I thought was like my best possible bodybuilding 2 years ago is different than it is today. So, you know, compared to about a decade ago, what do you think is better now about your system?
Well, you know, before I started off as a performance oriented guy. Everything was about performance, how much I lived, how strong I was, basically it's what how I performed them. And then I got into bodybuilding more or less, and then I started focusing on more of the contraction, how I can, you know, what I felt in the muscle, what the feedback was. But, you know, I did a lot of research, and eventually when I went to Oxygen, it kind of, you know, you kind of move through certain phases throughout your bodybuilding experience.
Yeah.
I realized that when I got to Oxygen, I was different in a way. You know, the traditional bodybuilding approach we say is a lot for like the genetically gifted or whatnot. Like, you know, it may not be the ideal approach for everyone, but you know, these guys can seem to grow from this and these kind of volumes and maybe not as much frequency and just kind of trash the muscle and still be able to recover. I figured out that is exactly who I am. I'm one of those guys that you can say, oh, this is a traditional bodybuilding thing, and I could follow that and I could get everything out of that. When along the way, I'd experimented with several different methods of training just to kind of, you know, get a feel and learn, you know, and be able to analyze things and kind of learn through the experience and seeing what I like. Because, you know, I like variability a lot, of course, but I always like learning, you know.
Yeah.
And it's what's new. But when I got down to it and I got to Oxygen, it's like, how much can I take? How much abuse can I take? They let me find that line.
Nice.
I and still recover. And before that, I may have been like, okay, I know I got to, you know, I know I just can't expect to beat my body up like this every day and continue to grow. Well, maybe I shortchanged that a little bit. Maybe I could have reached a little bit deeper in that tank and continue to grow. Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I couldn't because of the lifestyle that I led. Maybe didn't cater to me recovering that way, where in isolation I can, you know, take my focus and recover.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. So that's what I kind of realized about my training. It's like if I'm in the right environment, I can take a lot of abuse. I mean, and still be fine. Like, it's like overtraining can be far, far away from me. Yeah. Matter of fact, there's people that train with us that I have to know. I learn from them how much is a lot. Not from what I'm doing, but from how they're responding to what we're doing. So they're like, bro, you know, I can't train with you for the next two workouts because I'm just trashed, but I'll be in here for another one. So they'll come train with us and they'll take the necessary breaks that they need to be able to function the way they think they should function. Wow. But me, I'm just like, I'm gung-ho all the way through taking this abuse.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, when I came up, you know, I like to train hard. I like to push myself, but it would always be that, okay, those times when I'm like, okay, maybe I need to be more like, be more maybe normal. Maybe I need to, you know, evaluate these things a little bit more. Maybe I'm doing too much. Maybe, you know, and it got to that point sometimes where I'll question, you know, oh man, too much. Maybe I'm going too hard, you know, maybe, you know, and some of that stuff may have stemmed from like, maybe not having the right, environment, maybe not having the calories where I needed to be, maybe, not, you know, because I've done a lot of weird things. I remember that year I went keto most of the year, and you know, I was trying to train and like, really just get myself in condition and suffer like I never suffered before, and it didn't really result in much benefit as far as the bodybuilding stage was concerned. But I did learn a lot about that process of experimenting with the mental clarity and being able to push myself with such low carbohydrate. You know, and then having my body, what the body looked like, kind of flat. And I learned a lot of things about that. And but it was just kind of like, how much can I really take? And is it going to benefit me? Well, some things you can push, and then some things you really can't push. Before they're contradictory. And one of those things I can really, really push is training. But one of those things I have to really push when I push training is my diet and my nutrition. Because I can't push training without that. Yep. But when I do push the training like extreme, then my carbohydrate intake can be very, very excessive if my body's running on all cylinders. Yeah. Now, if I had like this past year where I was like the Arnold was like that example, diet on really, really high carbohydrates, training is really extremely crazy.
How high?
And then going into the Olympia, it wasn't quite like that because, you know, having those calories come down and not really come up as high, I wasn't able to really manipulate that in the same fashion, because I didn't have the window to do it, the time frame to do it. So, but normally, you know, if I can have that window where I'm just eating a lot, taking a lot of carbs, and just get busted in the gym, that's ideal. It could be an ideal situation for me, because apparently I'm not really carb sensitive, and I can still diet on a lot of carbohydrates. In a normal condition, I say optimal condition. But it's like I didn't really realize how many carbs I could take in when I was coming up before I went to Oxygen Gym. I didn't really realize it about myself. You know, I would try to play the conservative, like more low carb approach, and you know, trying to get in really, really conditioned. But like my coach kind of said, when I lose fullness, when I lose too much fullness, it's hard for him to tell which what he's reading on me. So I have to maintain some form of fullness. I can't be totally flat because he gets confused about what he's reading from that. What the variables are that, you know, okay, is he watery or is he flat? You know, you know, it's like this big question. Like it, so if he keeps me a little bit full, he knows, okay, he's not flat. Oh, he's watery. It must be this compound, or it must be maybe some kind of stressor that he's dealing with, you know? So the last thing he wants me to be is it's flat. Right. Because he never says, he never sees anything good out of that when he sees it. It just, I think it causes him so much concern to see me in that state that he won't let me stay in that state really, really long. Maybe he'll predict that state, say, okay, I'm going to have you on this low amount of carbs in this many days, and you should get to that worry point where I'm looking at you and worry about you in 3 days.
Yeah.
And then I know I can put it back in and pull you right back out, of course. But if I'm looking a certain way, and he hasn't really defined the reason that I'm looking that way because he hasn't put enough food in me, or he's thinking he's putting enough food in me, but it may not be enough. I'm running through everything. Then he has to play with those variables to make sure he gets me at that baseline look that he likes to see. Not over full, not flat at all, but that like that baseline look that he likes to see where I'm still, when I'm training, I'm getting a good pump. I'm holding a pump. I'm not just getting a pump and it goes away in the middle of workout. He wants to know all those things because it really dictates how much fuel he can put into me. In the occasion where getting leading into Olympia, I was just full and staying full and volumized on a lot less. And he was like, "This is not, you know, your body's doing something that, you know, I'm not feeding. I'm not really reading it like it normally would."
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, manipulate things to get it to go in the direction that we want it to go. But it's still resisting in a direction that it wants to go.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm looking at myself. I'm like, man. He's like, yeah, you're looking bigger. I'm like, how are we looking bigger? I says, I don't know how we're looking bigger. I don't want to drop any more calories. Put some more cardio in. And then it's okay. Now, okay, we're getting a little response. Maybe we'll drop a little more calories. And then it's just okay. And if I'm ever getting concerned, I can always feed you up a couple of days and say, okay, we'll pull out of this if we go too low. But it's like the way my body was responding then was like totally different than what we've ever dealt with. So we had to just use totally different methods than what we were used to reading.
Yeah, I'd heard there were a lot of people last year that had said like, well, he did really good at the Arnold. People have a hard time doing the same repeat then at the Olympia, you know, in the same year. So you have today, this year, this is going to be a whole different ball game now because there is Arnold. Now, you're going to be heading out after March, right? And then, so this is going to be
right after
6 months. What is that? Six months till the Olympia then? Something like that?
Yeah. I'll be out there for 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
This off season.
I'll take a little bit more downtime.
I'll maintain. I have another gym opening then.
Nice.
And hopefully in May. So I'll have a gym here in Murfreesboro that has basically all the things I want in it.
Nice.
And I'll be playing there until the baby comes. And then after the baby comes, I'll be back to Kuwait. So
Will the gym be open before May or is it opening in May?
This one the goal is May. We have one open last week in Franklin, Tennessee. Okay. It's the grand opening is actually this week. John Meadows will be in town this weekend.
All right. Cool.
Chris Bunstead, Steve Kluko, Lucky or what's this, Ferguson? Physique competitor. Andre Ferguson.
Gotcha.
Yes, that's it. So we have Mark Lobliner also be in town. So that's the event and for the grand opening, which is the first of this gym that just opened. So
what's the name of the gym?
Carbon Culture.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be in the Nashville area the week before the Arnold, so I'm gonna go. I'll try to get over to Franklin to carve.
Yeah, that's in Franklin. We had Chris Gethin come in town this past wow. week. He trained there.
That's cool.
Because he's made my partner. My partner is Armada Nutrition. I don't know if you see that, but you know, he's in the basically the supplement manufacturing side of the industry. And so he meets with a lot. I think he's doing things with Full Wide's brand as well.
Okay.
And nice. So Chris came in to kind of get look at the facility and, basically kind of see if they wanted to work with the company. So he came, checked out, trained at the gym. So he had a good time training at the gym. I missed it because I was in L.A. for the Fit Expo.
Right.
I was in L.A. It was crazy in L.A., by the way. Right after when the Kobe thing happened, we were staying
center
and everything. So
I can't imagine.
I got to see all the madness. It was Grammys was also that weekend.
That's just
so
too bad, man.
We were training right in the middle of Gold's Gym when it happened.
Wow.
It was nuts, and everybody was just talking about it. You know, and it's L.A., so
yeah,
I've never seen so many Kobe jerseys in my life.
Oh, I bet, man. My bet.
On bonkers.
The gyms are going good so far, and it's just a place we like to create an environment that's got that hardcore feel for the community. That's why, you know, it's basically for the culture, but we want to make it nice, you know.
That's cool.
A place you can, you know, that's nice inside. You can shower, you can, you know, it's going to be clean, but it's going to have everything that you need to really be serious.
Someplace you can sit for like an hour after your leg workout, and if you don't want to fucking move, you can just sit.
Right.
And just veg.
Couch in there. Exactly.
Okay, good. Right on. Right.
Exactly. But
they call it the curry couch. That's called the curry couch, like the curry zone out couch. Like, get a good workout. This is where you go. You can rest there as long as you want, man.
And we got to get you out eventually because a part of the gym is the educational side.
Mm. So right on.
We invite guests out for
absolutely
for seminars and stuff quarterly and whatnot at the different facilities to have people come in from the community and learn from. From you know different personalities and people, experts in the field and athletes and whatnot. So that's also something we want to do for our members as well.
I would love to. I'm gonna come train at the gym the week before the Arnold. I'll get there. I think it's pretty close. Franklin is not that far from where I'm.
No.
So yeah, it's
not
all close.
Not at all.
That's cool. Right.
It took me 25 minutes last time I was down from Nashville. So
okay, cool.
That's awesome, man. I'm so glad to hear that things are going so well and. I can't wait to see this year how you put things together. This is going to be a lot of fun, man. This is like I was starting to say earlier, you know, this is a different year now. You know, you put everything together for the Arnold so perfectly. And it makes sense. Everything you've said about how your body wanted to grow, you know, as you headed toward the Olympia and that, you guys had to fight that to get, you know, to get where you were. I feel like this is going to be a different year now that, you know, this is going to be interesting, man. This will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. And my coach is fired up, and I can say I have every reason to be fired up myself.
Absolutely,
especially after seeing these Arnold guys. I wish they come in really competitive and great shape. And,
yeah,
they come duplicated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you could very well be heavier on stage.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too.
And there's been some talk, we don't need to get into it, but there have been a couple people that were kind of questioning the conditioning issue, you know, that whole thing. So you got some extra fire there. I would love to see you just bring it and just zip the lips, man. That would be just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the game plan. I mean, I use it for motivation, and I'm glad that we have the talk.
Yeah.
Have something I can grab onto and fire myself up. I mean, I don't know how it would be without it. It'd be kind of like, man, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear Phil Heath said he's coming back just because I know that'll fire me up. You know? When he says it's like, oh man, we really gotta, you know, make sure we're doing everything we need to do.
If Phil and Sean and Dexter and you are all out on this, that's four of Mr. Olympia's on the stage. Whew. I don't think that's ever happened before. That would be sweet. That would be phenomenal.
That would be sweet, man.
Imagine that first call out. Oh man, amazing, right?
Yes, it'd be good for bodybuilding in general. So yeah. I'm hoping, man. I mean, I'll be focused on it. I have it in the back of my mind, training like we're gonna have a stage full of Mr. Olympia's ready to battle.
Yeah,
and then Arnold, you know, whoever comes out with that, this is gonna be motivating, man. I can't. It's the season. I can't wait. I've never been this fresh in a while, so.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
it's going to be it's going to be fun.
Go time,
awesome.
Baby.
Awesome. Yep. Well, Brandon, we really appreciate your time, man. This has been really cool.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys.
All right, guys, for another episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson and special guest, Mr. Olympia, Brandon Curry. I'm Scott McNally. Guys, we will see you soon.